Sinead, the Unicorn, good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you, Ray. How are you?
Good. I'm a bit jealous. Because you're in this amazing new facility out in Glasnevin, which is called...
The Wayfinding Centre. I'm on my way to the centre. It's on Botanic Road in Glasnevin, and I'm very excited to see what's inside. There was a lot of talk about this a few months ago in the news, and it's opening its doors in a week or so, in June, and I get a sneak peek today of this. It's the world's first accessible transport training centre. Mm.
It's a global first, and for a small country, we should be very proud of everything they're doing out there. So just what's your understanding of it? Because I know you're not there yet, but what's your understanding of it?
My understanding is that its aim is to help people who are living with disabilities in Ireland to familiarise themselves with public transport. So when I say public transport, I'm talking about the Luas, the Dart, air travel as well. And how exactly do they do that? Well, they have replicas of Luas carriages, Dart carriages, a section of an airplane inside in this building, and people can come in and familiarise themselves with these pieces of public transport infrastructure. You know yourself, when you're on the platform about to hop on the Dart, it's not always easy to gauge how far you have to step to get onto the carriage, likewise with the Luas. But there's training available here to people who are living with maybe mobility issues, that might have a visual impairment, to come in and to practice here. But it's not just about people with disabilities, it's also a place where people can learn. It's aiming as well to teach authorities out there who are perhaps designing or who are working in the front line, they might be working in airports, they might be out in Houston Station, how to help people who are living with disabilities and who need their assistance when they are going travelling.
1.1 million people in Ireland are living with disabilities, and only 6% of that 1.1 million people use public transport. Which is a terrible indictment. And this amazing facility about to be open in June, and you're visiting the Wayfinding Centre, is going to change those figures, I'd say, over the coming years. For the moment, Sinead, thank you. Looking forward to talking to you after 4 o'clock.
Lovely stuff. Thanks, Ray.
See you, Sinead. Now, out to Glasnevin we go to Sinead and the Unicorn. Hello, Sinead.
Hello, Ray. How are you?
Good.
Good. I'm here at the Wayfinding Centre, and what a sight when I came through the double doors. What are you greeted with but a section of an aeroplane? Air France, would you believe it? I'm currently on a Luas carriage, and you can kind of hear from the acoustics that it's a little bit echoey, but wait till you hear this. It really
Please
gives
give
you...
priority seats to those who need them.
It really gives you a sense of what it's like on the Luas. I can also see that the ticket machine is out on the platform. It's not just about the Luas carriages or the Dart carriages. It's about the streetscape as well. And you have the paving as it would be outside of any Luas track or outside any Luas stop in Dublin City Centre here. And I have Kevin Kelly with me from the Wayfinding Centre, and also Matt McCann from the Inclusion and Accessibility Group. They were set up to support the delivery of the Wayfinding Centre, and they're here to give us a little bit more information about this new wonderful initiative that will be opening soon enough.
And I'll talk to you again shortly, Sinead. Kevin, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Ray.
A global first for Glasnevin, Dublin, Ireland.
Yes, something that we can be all very proud of. The Wayfinding Centre is the world's first training and mobility centre for people with disabilities, and to discuss the future of mobility. As Sinead said, we have replicas and modules of all of the main types of public transport, including an Airbus 319 here on site in Botanic Avenue.
And Kevin, whose idea was it, do you know?
Vision Ireland originally approached the National Transport Authority to develop the Wayfinding Centre to help support people who are blind and vision impaired with orientation and mobility, which is quite a challenge. And there were a number of examples where there were clients or service users of Vision Ireland who had accidents over a period of time. And when we approached the National Transport Authority to develop the site, they saw a merit in the site, but they asked us to develop it on a pan disability sphere. And from there, back in late 2018, the Wayfinding Centre project was born, and we're now moving to operationalise the centre on a phased basis.
And what did the building home before the Wayfinding Centre?
Very good question. So a lot of your listeners will be very familiar with the site on Botanic Road. It's the old Smurfit Kappa building. It's got a lovely heritage site front entrance to the premises, and when we took it over, it was home to lots of pigeons, so we had to clear the site and to deliver the project that we now deliver. Now it's home to all of the transport modules and one or two pesky pigeons. It's also occasionally sneak in, but that replicates most train stations as well.
So you have that beautiful front facade at the front, and inside it's like a warehouse, which it would have to be to house the shell of an Airbus 319. You're visually impaired yourself, Kevin. I'm wondering about how you found it.
Yeah, so I lost my sight back in 2001 due to retinal detachments, and I've thought about this in the last number of months when I've become involved in the project. And back when I lost my sight, I had to learn how to orientate myself with my long cane with the support of Vision Ireland, and you know, I had a visual memory in my locality, but I had to leave Donegal then to come to university and Dublin, and having grown up in rural Donegal, I wasn't familiar with a double-decker bus, train station, bus stops, and that's when, you know, my confidence took a dent, and having a facility like this to support someone who has lost their sight or someone with another acquired disability to, you know, be able to practice boarding the modules and carriages here will be very important before you go out into the big bad world.
So it's learn by doing in a safe space.
Yes, and at your own
pace.
Yes, exactly, yes. Which is very, very important. And one of the other key pillars of the centre is also to provide training to frontline transport staff, because they play a huge part in the experience of people with disabilities or reduced mobility when they go out and about.
And I see that, for example, people who are studying engineering will be brought out to the Wayfinding Centre to influence how they design things in the future. So it's not just, as you say, for people with disabilities, but for everybody who's involved in providing services, particularly transport services for those with disabilities.
Yeah, we want the centre to be a very collaborative and open space where we can come together, and all of the stakeholders, whether that be people with disabilities, transport operators, policymakers, to come to the centre. We have a research and innovation area where we can trial and test various things, and the hope would be that we can fix things at a design stage, which would improve things for everyone rather than having to engage in an expensive retrofitting.
Will you pass the microphone over to Matt McCann there, who's a disability activist. How are you doing, Matt?
Not too bad, Ray. How are you doing yourself?
Good to talk to you, yeah. So you were diagnosed at 18 months with cerebral palsy, so you need a walking frame.
Absolutely, yeah. So it's been something I've been, you know, living with it with for as long as I can remember, really. So,
yeah. So this is spectacular, Matt, isn't it?
It absolutely is. I think when I was asked to be given the opportunity to be part of the this Inclusion Access Advisory Group, it was sort of a no-brainer, really. It just made complete sense.
Will you describe it to people at home? Because it's difficult. The scale of it is ginormous.
It is. I mean, when you first come through the door, I mean, you can get the scale of the space if you can make a part of a Airbus look small.
there you go.
It kind of really gives that perspective.
That says it all. And air travel is one of the big challenges for you. And you had a particular example of it, with your frame being what, left or lost?
Yeah, so I've had the fortune, you know, with my own business, Access Earth, we kind of look to help businesses of all sizes to become accessible. And with that, I've got to travel all over the world. But in this particular case, I just come off of, I think it was like three different layovers. And I got back to Dublin, only to realize my walking frame wasn't with me. And I think so many times there's a bit of a disconnect between how airport staff and the ground crew, everyone else kind of looks to deal with mobility devices. And so it meant that at some point between Amsterdam and Dublin, my frame was lost. And I was asked at the desk, do you have a spare one? And I was like, oh, yeah, grand. I'll just get into my bag there and grab my spare one. Of course I didn't.
You could just magic it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But having that Airbus there and giving people the opportunity to board it and then to manage whatever disability they have to get to their seat and just feel what's in front of them and beside them and just the sense of it must be just beyond brilliant.
It is, absolutely. It gives that level of comfort to bring that confidence back when travelling. Because I know for me, first starting out, getting onto the plane, not knowing what to expect, not knowing what's going to happen to my walking frame. You know, to have a facility like this when I was growing up would have been absolutely amazing. It would have removed a lot of that anxiety.
And I was telling our listeners early on, 1.1 million people in Ireland are living with disabilities, and only 6% of that 1.1 million use public transport, which is a terrible indictment, isn't it?
It is. And I think that a centre like this really gives the opportunity, not just for people with disabilities, but for everyone to kind of learn about what it's like in the current state of the built environment. Because, you know, right now, it's built for mid-20s right-handed males. And that's not the majority of the world's population.
No.
So I think this centre really...
there you go. I've never heard a phrase like that before. Mid-20s right-handed males, the world is designed for. Matt, thanks so much for talking to us. Sinead. Hello, Sinead Neolacon.
Yes, I'm piloting the plane currently.
Well, listen, it's brilliant because somebody could actually recreate their journey from their house. They could board a taxi, then get to a DART and get the DART. Well, there's no DART out to the train station, but maybe get a DART and then get a taxi to the airport and then board a plane, and they would know how all of that feels.
100%, and I'm just looking around me here, and we have mentioned the Lewis and Dart and the airplane, but they also have an area here, security scanning, like you would have at the airport. They have traffic lights as well, that you can press the button and wait until it goes green and you hear that it's okay for you to cross. As you said, taxis, double-decker buses, coaches as well. I was commenting earlier, and I know that this isn't the function of the centre, but I think kids would love it here because it's like a mini little world. Yeah, but they will be opening on a phased basis in the coming weeks. And if groups do want to come out here, they can contact the Wayfinding Centre and arrange a date to come out.
And I see we'll be open from June by appointment only for those who face barriers to independent travel, including people with reduced mobility, sensory impairments and those lacking confidence in public transport. Sinead Gormagut, thanks very much to Kevin and to Matt as well. Thanks, Sinead. Thank you.
Chaslán.
The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.